It's Midday Live. Dr. Drew, Mike Cathwood, Talk Radio 790 KABC. We're going to talk to our friend Judy Ho in just a second. Remind everyone, we make it easy to hear all our newsmaking interviews and our timely, provocative podcast on your smartphone and iPad. Download the 790 KBC app if you want to hear that Yale psychiatrist again or John Stossel again. It's all you got to do. iTunes, Google Play, or KBC.com. Take KBC wherever you go. Download the app. Listen longer from now. Louder, long, clearer. News Talk Evolve, 790 KABC. All right, now it's our friend, assistant clinical, wait, Judy, let me get your professorship.
Pervert who walks in and me in the bathroom.
Professor of psychology at Pepperdine University, licensed clinical psychologist, Dr. Judy Ho, welcome.
Hi, guys.
Hey, hi, Judy.
So, Happy New Year.
So the reason I asked for you is I talked to this Yale psychiatrist. She's very smart, very well trained. She is certainly within her field of expertise to be talking about violence and fitness for duty and whatnot. And she ultimately, I questioned her pretty thoroughly about what her position was. And ultimately, it appears that what she wants is a fitness for duty evaluation for presidents. And my contention is, according to our Constitution, the fitness for duty evaluation for a president is the will of the people. By definition, that's the fitness for duty screen you must pass. So she also said that in passing that, well, anything you would give a military person, maybe you ought to give the president. So my question is, and I looked up psychological fitness for duty evaluations. It's a little bit vague. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me what that would be? Yeah.
Of course. Yes. So to your point, we don't have anything in place right now. There is no requirement. And quite frankly, for any other position, the requirement is sort of involving the person who is applying for that job, basically signing their right away, right? Saying, yes, as part of me contending for this position, I'm willing to allow whoever you designate to evaluate my fitness for duty. So I guess we could do that for the presidency. I guess we can. But I guess the point is you can't really compel the president to do that. I mean,
And what would it be? And what would the evaluation look like? How do you know what fitness for duty for presidency is, other than
such
election?
A good point.
Yeah.
Right. So a lot of this, you know, we do from precedent, you know, so obviously for things like firefighters, police, you know,
So precedent, if you look at precedent, I mean, we've had a ton of nutty guys in the office there, a ton.
Oh, God.
So precedent. Yeah. So Theodore Roosevelt, Abraham Lincoln, out, if you want to set precedent. that's not funny. It's true.
I was saying precedent, meaning precedent for the organizations for which we have an established fitness for duty criteria for them to even get the job.
Okay.
So things like firefighters and policemen, you know, they all, before they go through the full interview process, they sign basically a waiver that says, yes, we will allow you to evaluate us in whatever way you think is okay. And so what I mean by that precedence is there's certain components, right? We look at whether or not they've suffered from any kind of mental illness and if they've been treated.
What about trauma? What about childhood trauma, say?
They do look at trauma.
Okay, Oprah's out. Sorry, Oprah can't be president. Oprah's out.
Tremendous.
Right. I mean, it's really horrible. I have seen some of the evaluations that have come forth from those positions, and they will totally chuck people because they've had some trauma history or because they've had some brief substance use history. I don't think it's fair because, you know, once they've gotten recovered and gotten treatment, why shouldn't they be fit? But, you know, sometimes that does happen. So anyway, we look at their mental health history. That's one part.
Well, hold on. Use psych, you know, cognitive testing? Do you do neuropsych testing? Do you just do a formal evaluation in the,
we
and
do,
you,
you, we have, do
are you talking
to them?
Yeah, all that. All right.
Yes, we do all of that. So I guess there's, you know, several main components. The first component is a very thorough mental health evaluation. And we look at anything like past or current diagnoses and whether they've been treated and how far they've come in their treatment. The second component is their cognitive capacity. And depending on the job that you have, that will be different per position. So there is no one-size-fits-all fitness for duty. So a really good fitness for duty evaluation should actually say, these are the tasks that are required of this individual in their job, and do they have the cognitive and mental capacity to do that job? And then they design the test or select the test that would allow us to assess that.
Do you think you could come up with a test like that for the President of the United States?
Oh my goodness.
I couldn't.
I think I could for cognitive and for mental health wellness.
Let's say they had a major mental illness. They had an axis one time in their life, and yeah. we're gonna stigmatize and exclude people.
No,
they might do a better job.
I do not.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I look at how far they've come in their mental wellness and what their coping strategies are at this current point in time. I don't really care how many diagnoses or traumas they've met in the past. I care about how well they're coping with that history right now. And as far as cognitive capacity goes, yes, I do believe the president needs to be at least average across problem solving techniques. They have to be able to.
And to be fair, now we have two important presidents fall out in that category. Woodrow Wilson when he had a stroke, and now President Reagan when he started failing cognitively. Both no good. They would be out. Out, out, out.
They would be out. The third part of the fitness for duty evaluation is oftentimes a moral test of some degree. And this is probably the hardest one. How do you assess somebody's character? Right?
Yeah.
And I think this is where
people get
stuck.
Well, and who does the assessing? I mean, that makes a bit, what I find to be moral is wildly different than what you would find to be moral, Judy.
Exactly, Mike.
But you would set up, you'd get a board together and you would, you know, get a bunch of professionals and you'd set up criteria and whatnot. You and I know how it goes, Judy.
Yeah.
But that application, that's a sword that will cut all ways. And I'm going to predict that nobody could last in the presidency 6 months with that kind of a system being applied.
I agree. And to your point, Mike, because it is so individualistic, depending on who you talk to and who's conducting the fitness for evaluation, they will include different components in that evaluation. And who's to say that person who's appointed is that well themselves? I mean, how do you know that? What about the fitness for duty of the people who are evaluating?
And Judy, the psychiatrist said her issue was the fitness for duty given his impact on public health. That was the prism switch. She was not looking at it through the prism of his mental health, his capacity for fitness, though she did say there should be a fitness examination. It was the impact on public health, that criteria, which is a different set of criteria, right?
Very different. And I think this is where you're introducing that researcher or provider bias, because for each of us, different things are more important to us for our person who are going to lead the country, right?
Yep. Yep.
And you're going to apply that through that lens. And so maybe for her, this was very important. You know, for me, it might be different. For me, I think I want to look at it more objectively. I just want to know if they have the capacity to make good decisions. I don't care if I agree with those decisions or not.
Right.
That is not my job.
That's
as a
right.
For duty evaluator.
Okay. So you're like me. You sort of see sort of something that could be done, but it's not going to be.
Yeah.
Why? I'm going to get on a heat in here and talk about the Constitution in a minute and talk about would you not agree with me that when it comes to elected office, the fitness for duty is determined by the people? That's what's in the
Agreed.
Constitution. And if we
That's
are going
in our Constitution.
Yeah. And they're in the Constitution are remedies if somebody's truly unfit. The 25th Amendment, things like that. What's being bantered about is the threshold for fitness. That's what people are getting nutty about. And I'm telling you, if you start lowering that threshold, no one's going to be president. It's going to everyone.
You can't.
Oprah would not be president. Oprah would not be president. Yeah.
You can't lower that threshold. And I think if you want to apply just the most basic criteria possible, then the basic criteria is that you get a list of job duties for the president, like, you know, like a job description.
Right, right.
And then you think about how you can evaluate whether or not he's capable of doing those duties. But there should be none of your own personal judgment can come into that. And furthermore, as you raise about the Constitution, if whoever, the presidential candidate or the current president wants to agree to that, they're essentially agreeing to something that's outside of the constitutional limits. It would be their own will that they would subject themselves to this and sign away their rights.
Let's talk to me real quick here, Judy. Hang on if you don't mind. Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I think the Constitution has a little more flexibility than you're assuming. For there is a 25th Amendment. There's an impeachment process.
Yeah, I said that. Absolutely. I specifically stated that. If they're really unfit, the question is, what is that bar for fitness? And that's what people are playing with right now.
Right. But I think what the psychiatrist is saying is, she's not saying I should decide whether he stays president, but rather I'm providing information so those mechanisms can take that information into consideration. So
no, she actually recommended specific policy. She said we should have a fitness for duty exam, much like we give the military officials. Because I kept asking, what criteria? How do we determine this? Who's going to determine? What are the objective facts in this? And that's what she said. And it turns out that area is a mess too, right? It just all you get is, you know, can you show up for work? And, you know, what would it be, Judy, for president? What do you think? It would be like, can you understand, you know, complex decision making or what else? Can you tolerate stress?
How well do you tolerate? Exactly. Tolerate stress, the stress tolerance. How well are you able to organize and hold attention?
Right.
Your health, right? I mean, are you able to sort of keep up on those markers? I mean, we do want somewhat of a healthy president, and the physical and the mental health are often interconnected.
Yeah.
And so there has to be some way to assess whether or not they're going to continue to take care of themselves as part of their duty.
That could be a problem for Ms. Trump because all those McDonald hampers.
Oh my lord!
All right, Judy. Thank you for joining us here in the crunch. I'm just trying to make sense of all this.
Fascinating conversation.
Yeah, and as usual, the press is just doing a grave disservice to this topic by just putting it, you know, Trump's crazy, which is not what she's saying. She's saying it's about the issues around fitness for duty and the public health impact. And thank you for joining us, Judy Ho. We'll look for you on The Doctors, right?
Yeah. I'll see you guys soon, hopefully. Right. And thanks for catching me. And Happy New Year, buddy.
Happy New Year, my dear.
Thank you, Judy.
800-222-5222. Leanne Tweeden coming in a little bit later on Heat. They're going to talk about the laws around fitness for duty. It's Talk Radio 790 KBC.